Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here, as always, with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Good, man. We're going to talk about the elephant in the room today. And I always love getting a little bit uncomfortable and bringing the conversation to places that sometimes are avoided in certain weight loss groups and certain dieting mantras, in certain approaches to health and weight loss. And I'm just gonna drop the bomb right now because I'm excited to break this down. And there's so many different directions that we can go. But how are we going to actually become the 5% of the people or the population that keep the weight off that they have worked so hard to lose? So 95%. So here's the elephant. It's just sitting in the room. Nobody's talking about it. These weight loss programs, these dieting books, the giant section at the Barnes and Noble of how to lose weight, and the South Beach and the lemon this and the juice fast and all of these different things, right?
Yeah.
What they don't talk about is the sustainability of how to keep it off. And that's what I love about our story, Tommy, your story, my story, our story combined, is that, you know, we've had the results and the people with us that are actually becoming part of the 5% and not the 95% that you and I were at one point, which is you lose 20, gain 21, you lose 15, gain 18. So I really want to dive into the non-dieting weight loss portions of this and why they're so important.
Yeah. And I don't know, for so long, it just felt like I was just so dead set. I was thinking that tracking and monitoring just the ins and the outs of my calories and my workouts and all that kind of stuff and the macros, that would be enough. And that if I got those, if I got the perfect magic formula, I'd have the holy grail for it. And then whatever the goal was, that it would just stay. But like you just said, I saw goals and then it came back. I saw some goals and maybe not, didn't quite hit the goal, but then it came back anyway. And it was kind of like, it got increasingly frustrating because I was getting farther and farther from what I knew to be a healthy weight for myself. And at the same time, I was never really hitting my ultimate goal anyway. And then it was just backtracking every chance I stopped for just a second, it seemed like.
I want to make sure that we mention the podcast name again, that this is the Fasting for Life podcast.
Right.
And if you're new to the podcast, you're probably like, wait a minute. We're talking about weight loss. Okay. Most people come to fasting or try intermittent fasting because they want to lose weight, right? So in 3,500 new patients and over the course of almost 10 years in clinical practice, this isn't a real, like I track these numbers, but I would say 9 out of 10 people checked off would like to lose weight on their intake form, even if they were coming in with an ulterior motive or an ulterior health concern. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at the statistics, 50% of the population is deemed, you know, 42% right now, but in the next 5 to 6 years, they're saying 50% of the population is going to be obese, not overweight, obese.
Right.
And 72% of the population in 2018 and 19 are overweight, 72%, right? So like 3/4 of us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will say, oh, I want to lose weight because I need to lose weight. I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to lose 15 pounds. I want to lose 30 pounds. And that's all good and well. But the reality is that 95% of us or 95% of people will not ever get to the end goal, which is not just losing the weight, but keeping it off. And fasting was what transformed your journey and my journey and the hundreds of people, well, now thousands of people that we've taken through our challenges. But it goes so much deeper than just the superficial, I want to lose the weight because.
Yeah. And I could feel some of those thought processes. I could feel myself changing during my first few months of fasting. And like, we had some interesting conversations, because by the time you asked me what I was doing when we were standing in my kitchen, you said, well, what have you been doing? Because you look like a smaller version of yourself. And I said, well, I've been fasting. And then, you know, we started going down the rabbit hole of like, well, what does that look like? How are you doing
right.
All the nitty gritty, the operations, the mechanics of it. But at that point, I had already felt some shifts in my state of mind, in what I was focused on, in what I was open to. Like, as confidence comes up a little bit, so does like your ability to set farther out goals and targets in other aspects of your life too. So like other things start to connect that I had never really thought of. And so that's why I really like this conversation, because there are multiple parts of that long-term success of a weight loss journey for sure.
All right. I'm going to come fully transparent here.
Mm-hmm.
In the clinic, we used to have weight loss programs. And we're not talking about like HCG injections or liposuction or those types of things. We're talking about dietary lifestyle change-based weight loss programs, supplementation, monitoring, weigh-ins, check-ins, detoxes, different types of things in that realm, right?
Right.
So a natural, non-invasive approach to weight loss, making the habits stick, making the lifestyle changes stick. And I really wish I would have known what I know now about fasting back then, because I wouldn't have ended up putting on, you know, 60 pounds and my blood markers be in shambles and, you know, like losing control of my health in my 30s.
Right.
So that would have been great. But the reason I bring that up is, you know, we would promise these results and people would start off great and they would get results. We would do 2-week challenges, 4-week challenges, but we never followed up with, or typically, you know, patients that were with us for long periods of time, they would slip back to those old habits or give the weight back. So there's this really, you know, just fully transparent. Yeah, we were helping people in the short term, but did we really achieve the goal of long-term improved health? And that was one of our main you know, tenets of our clinic, was to help people, pull them out of the matrix, encourage them that they had an opportunity to come off medications, lose the weight, and live a long, healthy, you know, good quality of life, right? So there's an article we're going to reference today, and it was done by the main author, or name on the article is Maurice Breckley. And it was Perspectives into the Experience of Successful, Substantial Long-Term Weight Loss Maintenance. And it's a systemic review. And it just came out January of 2021. So just about 6 months ago. And it's really interesting, because they picked 15 studies, about 300 people, and they looked at the qualitative assessment or the qualitative measures of, you know, people that had or currently were overweight or obese, who successfully lost the weight and who subsequently maintained or regained that weight. So they were looking at the exact problem that they were trying to get some insight into. So they were looking at people that had lost the weight, that were overweight or obese, and then people that were successful in that journey, but then they either maintained it or gained it back. So it was really cool, because they got non-weight loss, a ton of non-scale related insights.
Yeah. And that's a huge piece of this, because like the scale is only one little piece of the puzzle. And yeah, sure, that measures the actual weight loss, but like going through our journey and what we've now seen with thousands of other people as they start to get the ball rolling, there's other pieces that need to be filled in, right? Like we have old habits, we have old dietary preferences, we have old like skills in the kitchen, or restaurant like thought patterns and ingrained things that we tend to do. There's a support system or lack thereof for a lot of folks. Like, what are the people around you doing, right? Like, there's so many layers of this, and that's what they started to uncover in this article, which confirms a lot of the things that we see on a day-to-day and a week-to-week basis in going through all the challenges and the continuity group, right?
Yeah, it's really cool to look at this from like a holistic perspective, in that this was not just, you know, a US based kind of perspective. They really looked at a global perspective of the amount of people that were suffering from obesity, that had, you know, not suffering from obesity, but it had obesity, or they were overweight and they were suffering with health related issues like diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol, those types of things that we know have a direct effect on our lifespan and our overall quality of life. So I like the fact that they were looking at this from a holistic place, and that, you know, one of the things that we say or we hear a lot is, I want to, like we mentioned this in the beginning, I want to lose the weight because my doctor said so, or I want to lose the weight because I know it's good for me, right? Well, the willpower is an interesting thing where it's really fickle and it's finite. So if you're trying to lose weight and you're seeing, you know, slow results in the beginning, then it's going to be more difficult to stick with it when some of these other characteristics or other categories of, I don't want to say hindrances, but other categories of things that need to be addressed in order to have that long-term success.
Yeah, contributing.
So I just really love, it's looking at it from that holistic standpoint of like, okay, how are we going to get it off? One, which that's why I love fasting and, you know, intermittent fasting and using time restricted eating windows and putting, you know, increasing the time between your eating windows and, you know, getting the additional benefits of fasting, like increased energy, decreased brain fog, better sleep, you know, better blood work numbers, all of that kind of stuff. Autophagy, right? The cellular healing that takes place. But really figuring out what were these things that allow people to be successful and become that 5%.
Yeah. And one of my favorite sentences from the article is the interrelated, correlated, and causative factors contributing to increased prevalence of obesity included economic, social, medical, biological, developmental, infrastructural, and psychological, among other factors. Like, there's a whole host of things going on here that actually correlated with and determined the overweight and the obesity, you know, within a given population. It's multifaceted.
So let's go through some of the applications of it here, right? Because one of our things is always begin with the end in mind. If you guys have been listening for a while, then you know that's something we say often. We also say land the plane, peek behind the curtain, full transparency. We have a lot of catchphrases that we use in the delivery of you know, the conversational tone around fasting and the fasting lifestyle. But I want to make sure we're doing some actionable stuff here too. So we're going to look at some of the main characteristics that came out of the study that allowed the people to have a positive experience along the journey, and then also be part of that 5% that kept it off. And one of the things is goals, right? So self-defined personal goals, but also health goals as well. So not just, you know, I want to lose 20 pounds because my doctor said I need to, but really getting into the goal and like the goal setting, the underlying why you're trying to lose the weight, right? You know, you're going to lose the weight. Like, you need to lose the weight, or you should lose the weight. Like, that's not, you know, it's like back when smoking was accepted, right? Like, they didn't know yet that smoking was going to have, you know, the massive increase in the cause of lung cancer and overall just, you know, detrimental effects of smoking, right? Now it's common knowledge. Like, yeah, if you smoke, these are the risk factors that you're taking into account to make that decision. But like, when I'm talking about like the why underneath the losing the weight, like, when you lose the weight, what does that allow you to do? What does that allow? Who does that allow you to become? What are you going to be able to do, and how are you going to be able to live, you know, in that future setting where you've achieved the goal and you have the greater confidence and the greater energy and the, you know, for me, it was being a better dad and a better husband and being able to, you know, to help more people and, you know, just, you know, have a better quality of life. So what are those underlying intrinsic motivators, but also those self-defined personal goals that are not necessarily the number on the scale?
Yeah. And I feel like understanding that this is a multifaceted process is really important, because when you start the journey, knowing that these are things that you need to be addressing and thinking about while the scale is changing, while you are fasting and seeing results, prepares you for that maintenance and that long-term success. Because if you're not preparing for it while you're getting those initial results, you'll be behind the eight ball. You won't be ready to maintain those results. And piggybacking off of what you just said there, like there, you need something to sink your teeth into. Like you need goals that are meaningful to you, like losing 20 pounds because your doctor said so, like your example is maybe enough to get you started. But when things get a little slower, when you hit a plateau, when you see 12 of those pounds gone, but not the last eight, right? Do you have enough to keep going and to actually hit the goal? Or will it be like, okay, well, cool. I'm glad I lost 12 pounds, but yeah, I'd kind of rather go back to my old habits here. And then you kind of just revert back. And I think that's a lot of where the 95% comes from.
And that goes right along with the whole concept of motivation too, like the outside and inside motivating factors, you know, of people's increase in confidence and increase in social, you know, social settings at work and on a personal level, was really part of that as well. So like just starting there and having clarity on some of those goals and knowing that it is going to be, you know, an ever-changing thing, that some of them might be, like you just mentioned, fitting into, you know, a certain weight to height category, right? Based on some health metrics, but others might just be, you know, activity goals or eating goals or energy goals, right? Or, you know, you want to write a book, right? Like, but you can't do it because you're always falling asleep at the typewriter.
Right.
Yeah, I just said typewriter. Sorry, computer. The heck just happened there? I just went back to 1980.
Yeah, kicking it old school. So
for
me, I was so tired 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night that I couldn't enjoy that like prime time with my family because my insulin resistance was so high. I just it was nap time, and I might have another good hour or two at like 9 or 10 o'clock, but I lost the main evening hours, and that was one of the big driving factors for me that got me through some of those plateaus and those slower points too, because it was really important to me.
Yeah. So some self-defined personal goals, some external and internal goals. And then, you know, with that, the motivation piece that we mentioned, really though, with the motivation is having a place, a sense of belonging or a sense of, feeling like you're accepted the way that you're going about doing it. So fasting is one of those things that we joke around about, like the first two rules of fasting when you start is don't talk about fasting and don't talk about fasting, because everybody is like, oh, you look great. You know, what have you been doing? You're like, oh yeah, you know, I'm being intentional with my eating, and I'm doing some walking, and you know, I'm working on my stress and my sleep. And they're like, oh, that sounds great. And then you're like, yeah, and I also fast. And like, wait a minute, what? You starve yourself? Like, why would you skip a meal? That sounds awful. Like, I'm hungry all the time, right? So there's the tendency, unless you're part of a fasting community or a fasting group, or you've been a part of our challenge, or you're in our community group on Facebook, or you know, you've been doing fasting for a while, there's that potential to not have that extrinsic motivation to keep you going. So you know, internally, you know, the motivation is I want to improve my health, better self-image, you know, self-confidence, those types of things. But it's also helpful to have that outside piece too.
Yeah, because you know, we're herd creatures. We're creatures of, you know, like comfort and
community.
We don't like resistance, right? Like we're always going to go towards comfort and resistance and acceptance. too. So your peer group matters. So if, you know, if your friends are in the gym, it's easy to go into the gym, right? To have a workout buddy, like an exercise buddy, a diet buddy. So, you know, whatever path the people around you are on, it's going to be much easier to do that. And when you're doing something different, even if it's working, sometimes that ends up creating a source of resistance, which can be enough to steer you away from, you know, even long-term good results sometimes. So like tapping in, staying connected to a group that's headed in the same direction can be a really, really strong, important piece that's oftentimes overlooked within a diet or a nutrition plan.
I think that's one of the things about having a niche like fasting is that we have a lot of people repeat listeners. So shout out to all y'all that listen to the podcast, because I feel like that is a piece of the extrinsic motivation kind of category, right? Yeah. So we have our externally defined goals, like, hey, I want to, you know, perform better at sports or run a marathon. You have your, you know, internal or self-defined goals, you know, life goals, family goals, those types of things. You've got the motivation piece, right? You've got the internal stuff, improving health, better self-image, like we mentioned. And then you've got the social piece, the extrinsic motivation, like you just mentioned, Tommy, like that community, being a part of something. Right. The two other kind of big categories that showed up in this article, which was so cool, was the challenges. So the internal and external challenges, and then the monitoring. So the self-monitoring and the external monitoring. And there's some really cool things here. So I want to go into the challenges piece. So of, again, sustaining the weight loss, right? So not just losing it, but keeping it off, beginning with the end in mind. So some of the outside challenges, which is what we like to call life. That's why we named it Fasting for Life.
Right.
Right. Being able to have the pizza night with the kids and the happy hours and the date nights and, you know, those types of things. But the outside or extrinsic challenges are going to be the work, the personal stress, the holidays, the celebrations, relationship changes, you know, the food environment, you know, big food and how those foods are chemically created for palatability and mouthfeel and the advertising and all of those. And, you know, the people that look at you like you're crazy because you want to make changes to your health, right? They're like, oh, why you're dieting again, right? And then there's the internal stuff, which is the stress, lack of time. You know, you might have illness or pregnancy or, you know, social isolation, like what we just went through in 2020. And some people are still going through, you know, into 2021. And then you lose that reliance on the support system. And then you have the lack of structure. And, you know, then you've got your trigger foods and all of those different types of things from an intrinsic challenge side. So figuring out a way of how we can help balance some of those things out. And the first way to win the extrinsic and intrinsic, I'll start with the intrinsic or the internal ones, Tommy, is to just identify the problem. And once you identify the problem of why you keep going to food or why you can't keep the weight off, just identifying the problem then tells your brain that it's okay to start thinking about it. Yeah. And sitting down and just putting some intentional time to that is a great place to start.
Hey, fasting fam, want to let you know about an incredible company that we've partnered with, AquaTrue.com. Promo code Fasting for Life to receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. These are not your old school pitcher filters or your refrigerator filters. We're talking about a proprietary 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. Their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing, which if you've priced those whole home water filtration systems, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These incredible countertop versions. They do have one under sink mounting model as well, but they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, like I mentioned, and they're specifically designed to combat this new group of chemicals that the Environmental Working Group has done a deep dive on, these forever chemicals called PFAS or PFASs. These are in 45% of our U.S. tap water. 45%. These things can lead to endocrine system disruption, certain types of cancers, liver toxicity. And I'm so glad that there's now a countertop affordable version of this incredible technology. So as we fast, we know that water, outside of a little black coffee and tea, is the only thing that we drink. So if we're trying to get the biggest bang for our buck, we're trying to increase autophagy and allow our bodies to heal, shed the weight, get healthy, reverse disease, then why not give it the absolute best quality water that you can. So AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It even makes a great gift, like I mentioned, my aunt and uncle. Today, as one of our loyal listeners, if you support them, you're supporting us. You're going to get 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTru.com and enter code FASTING FOR LIFE. FASTINGFORLIFE. That's 20% off any of the AquaTrue water purifiers at AquaTrue.com.
Yeah, I think that is a great place to start. I mean, I've identified one of my main issues that I used to have was a revolving pantry door. And right. It was kind of like, no matter what the macros or the calories were, I could fit it in. But, you know, that's where I would keep going back to. But that was in a sense of like a boredom, something to do, and kind of a place to put my focus. And that's a big spot that I think doesn't get enough attention in long-term, you know, diet and weight management is managing those you know, internal or intrinsic challenges like that. Because, you know, food has such an emotional component where it gives us a focal point. It gives us something to do, something to think about, where if we don't have a whole lot going on, let alone when times get tough, but even if we just have kind of a void of things going on or places to put our focus, it can be like, okay, well, I don't have anything else going on. Let me just go ahead and, you know, do my next meal time. And then, you know, you put food in with that, and then it gives us those dopamine hits, especially if we're eating some of the more engineered foods. And right. And that can be a vicious cycle where a lot of those factors are really, you know, pointed against us. So we have to be aware of that so we can get past them.
And then on the external side, it's, yeah, think life's going to happen, right? So knowing how to use your different fasting windows, how to do a breakfast to lunch or a lunch to dinner or one meal a day, or how we like to call how we pivot. So we set our week in our continuity group. We'll do the weekly fasting schedule, right? We'll have a couple different schedules certain weeks based on what the group needs. And then we set the schedule. So then at the beginning of the week, you know, just like you know, you value what you measure, and we're going to talk about monitoring here in just a second, but you know, you've got a work lunch that came up, or you've got a coffee date, or, you know, a surprise birthday or something that pops up. You have the ability to know that that's not going to completely throw you off track if you're on the weight loss portion of your journey, or if you're in maintenance, that you have the tools to be able to get right back on track mentally and or physically. So looking at it again, the goal setting, the motivation, now we've got the, you know, the internal and external challenges. It's cool because to see, like, well, for me in all of these, fasting was a simplifier. So instead of like a chemical equation where you have a catalyst, right? Mm-hmm. So you have a fire and you throw gasoline on the fire gets bigger, right? Yeah. So for me, fasting was a simplifier. It was a reductioner. It was like putting the fire out. It was like throwing water on the fire. Yeah. And just calming down the struggles and calming down the hunger and calming down the conversations and the tracking and the, you know, the function, the testing that I was doing and all those different types, yeah, of things. And we hear this in the conversations and comments in the groups and in the emails and in the questions that we get. So the last category is really the monitoring piece, and this is the value what you measure. So I know there's a lot in this conversation we're having right now, Tommy. So if you guys are looking for a visual, because I'm a visual person, you can just go to this article. The link's in the show notes. And if you click on the images and the links, there's some really cool, colorful, like well laid out kind of frameworks for this stuff, which, yeah, I found extremely helpful. So I want to move into the monitoring piece. So there's the self-monitoring, and then there's like the external monitoring, which kind of goes along with the external motivation piece too, being a part of, you know, a group or having peer feedback. We always say find a fasting buddy or a fasting friend.
Yeah.
Because it's always easier to have accountability to someone else if they're doing it along with you.
Yeah. And you know, when we speak about monitoring, it's also important to recognize that the wins don't just come from the day-to-day movement in the scale. Oftentimes we can be burning through fat stores and not see it reflected the next day on the scale. That's just the nature of, you know, hydration and water retention and other factors that go along with that one measurement tool. So when we're monitoring, keeping an eye on things that are not related to the scale is a really important thing, especially for long-term success and building momentum. So, you know, we should keep the scale, the number in mind, but zoom out a little bit, especially as we start getting further into our fasting journey. The results can come quicker in the beginning, but they tend to get a little slower, but plateaus can happen. But having other things that we're monitoring is super important, right?
Yeah. And that's why I like, you know, I use a Keto Mojo from time to time. I used it a lot more, you know, in the beginning of my journey, tracking my ketones and my blood sugars. And then there's always the measurement, the photos. Sometimes your body composition will change and the scale won't move, but you can put up a photo, you know, side by side of, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. And you're like, wow, like my waist is smaller. I lost centimeters. These are all the non-scale victory things that we talk about. So being intentional with looking for those things, like, oh, my wedding ring falls off now, or, oh, my hands aren't swollen when I wake up in the morning,
right?
You know, so visual reminders, you know, like I said, photos or images, and making sure that you're still, you know, doing some planning with it. The monitoring becomes easier from a self-monitoring standpoint if you've got a plan. And that's why we like to do these weekly plans, because again, based on the challenge conversation we just had, life happens, right? Things happen, things come up. And it's good to have that plan in place, because then you don't really have to think in the moment, right? Like going to the grocery store hungry, or stopping to get the, you know, the quick, convenient food on the way home, like going home and home cooking rather than stopping and, you know, just trying to get the cheeseburger and not the extra large fry and the drink and the frosty, right? If you're going to Wendy's, it's just more difficult, you know, if you're going off script, so to speak. So that's really the self-monitoring piece, in my opinion.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one piece that you're getting to there is having a plan for the long-term results. So like, let's say you hit your goal weight. I know a lot of folks speak about their goal weight in terms of like, if I could just get the 20 pounds off, then I won't ever have to worry about it again, or I won't ever have to think about what I eat again. Right. But, you know, let's remember that we are comfort creatures. It's easy for us to go back to old habits, right? So even maintenance needs some level of like a plan, that self-monitoring, a little bit of a, here, I know what I'm going to do when I do reach that maintenance point, because that still needs to look a bit different from whatever we did to gain those 20 pounds. So a little bit of deliberate planning there goes a long way for support in those long-term results. And I think a lot of people who do get the weight off but end up bringing it back on didn't have that long-term plan. That's just another important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. And I love the external portion of the monitoring piece here too, is, you know, like, I feel like that's why Weight Watchers has some success in the short term, is because you're in a controlled environment. You have your check-ins. If you show up and you check in, you have the accountability and you buy those processed meals and you stick to eating those foods, then yeah, your body responds in a certain way for most people. But then you have to continue to do those things, or else you lose the result. So with fasting, it's like, okay, well, the fasting lifestyle simplifies a lot of these things that we've been talking about, in that it makes planning easier. It makes decision-making easier. You can get some wins under your belt faster. You can see the goal, the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. If you've got 20 pounds to lose and you start fasting and you lose 10 pounds in 30 days, you're like, oh man, this is awesome, right?
Right.
So that support piece is what I love that we see in our Fasting for Life community group is, you know, there's 17, or I don't even know how many people are in there, probably 1,700, almost 2,000 at this point. And it's just that continual like conversation where it's like, you can just go and post a question or get a tidbit, right? Mm-hmm. Or just scroll and see some encouragement from the group. And I think that's really why I love going in there and just kind of scrolling through the comments, because there's that external monitoring piece or that external accountability piece that's there.
Yeah. If I just walk outside my door or call the people on my phone, it's going to take me a little while to get to a number of people who are familiar with the fasting lifestyle and who are actually fasting today. Like, hey, how long did you set your fasting timer for? You know, did you wait for your fasting timer to eat today? Just like that deliberate level of lifestyle and direction. So being able to tap into that, into a concentrated group like that, that's a really cool resource.
Yeah. And I just, in, so like 30,000 foot view here, it's like, okay, well, why did we decide to do an episode on this conversation? Well, we always like to say, again, beginning with the end in mind, right? So beginning with the end in mind of this conversation or this episode of the podcast is, well, how do we become the 5%? Right.
Right.
So what we just walked through was, you know, the three main categories, the challenges, the motivation, and then, you know, the monitoring piece, really just finding and picking one or two things from each one of those categories and putting that in for the next 30 days. Give yourself 2 weeks, right? If you're new to fasting, if you've been on plateau, if you've been doing OMAD and you just kind of feel like, meh. Or if you're brand new and you're like, I don't even know where to start. Now you're way ahead of the curve compared to where you and I started, Tommy.
Yeah.
You know, having these, you know, these frameworks that you can work with. But I like the idea of beginning with the end in mind. How do we become the 5%? Well, set your goal as becoming the 5%, and then we reverse engineer that backwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're just getting started, just go ahead, go to the website, sign up for our newsletter, get the Fast Start Guide. Just get started, because once you have a place to get started, then it's and you see some wins, it's so much easier to go like, okay, what are those other little points that they were talking about? And
right.
Let me start introducing those. That's a lot easier to do while the scale is moving in the right direction. So head over to thefastingforlife.com, download the Fast Start Guide, and just get started.
Yep. You're going to pick your first fasting window. You're going to set the timer. You're going to knock it out of the park. You're going to rinse and repeat. Tommy, thank you so much for the conversation today, sir. I appreciate your time as always, and thank you. Will talk soon.
Okay, bye.
So you've heard today's episode, and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.